Good evening, as we continue our online journey with the Lord through this holy week of our salvation. May the grace, healing, and forgiveness of the Lord be with you this holy week,
and also with you.
O Saviour of the world, who by your cross and precious blood has redeemed us,
save us and help us, we humbly pray.
Tonight, we remember a scene in the Gospels where some Greek visitors want to see Jesus. It seems a simple enough request, but Jesus' response is anything but simple. To see Jesus is more than looking at him. It is more than merely believing the things he said and did. We follow Christ as participants, not spectators. If we want to see Jesus, then we must learn to die. Seeing Jesus means dying to all parts of our life that blind us. Fear, the need to be right or to be in control. Anger and resentment, the guilt and disappointments of our past. Attachment to power, wealth and reputation. The ways in which we separate ourselves from one another. Our obsessions, compulsions, and emotional agendas. The ways in which we hurt one another and damage relationships. Ultimately, it means dying to our own self-sufficiency. We let go of our life to receive God's life. This work of dying is difficult and painful. It is, as Jesus describes, soul-troubling. It shakes us to the core. Dying, however, begins to clarify and heal our vision. We see a new life and a new way of being. It looks like Jesus and his way of living and being. That is what Holy Week is about. We sing the hymn, O Sacred Head, Sore Wounded.
Oh,
O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let not the flood overwhelm me, nor the depths swallow me up. Let not the pit shut its mouth upon me. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Hear me, O Lord, as your loving kindness is good. Turn to me, as your compassion is great. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. O God, who by the passion of your blessed Son made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life, grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer pain and loss for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Responsorial Psalm, number 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be for me a stronghold to which I may ever resort. Send out to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the evildoer and the oppressor.
In you,
O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence, even from my youth. Upon you have I leaned from my birth, when you drew me from my mother's womb. My praise shall be always of you.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge.
Let me never be put to shame. I have become a portent to many, but you are my refuge and my strength. Let my mouth be full of your praise and your glory all the day long. Do not cast me away in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge.
Let me never be put to shame. For my enemies are talking against me, and those who lie in wait for my sake take counsel together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and take him, for there is none to deliver him.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge.
Let me never be put to shame. O God, be not far from me. Come quickly to help me, O my God. Let those who are against me be put to shame and disgrace. Let those who seek to do me evil be covered with scorn and reproach. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you more and more.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge.
Let me never be put to shame.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, Chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said to them, the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them.
We say the Song of Isaiah. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. St. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. In the reading appointed for this evening from the Gospel of St. John, we come to the awkward question of the devil. Jesus is unambiguous about his forthcoming triumph over the powers of darkness. Christians are often less forthright on the subject. Looking at Scripture, reference to the devil in the Old Testament is not frequent. Christians would see the serpent in the book Genesis, chapter 3, as representative of the devil, and in Leviticus, chapter 16, the scapegoat is driven into the wilderness for Azazel, one who would later become depicted as a goat-like demon. In the second book of Samuel, chapter 24, and the first book of Chronicles, chapter 21, we see the appearance of Satan, a word literally meaning the adversary or the accuser. Satan is the one who incites David to hold a census of the fighting men, an action that displays a doubting of God. Satan is the adversary of the Lord in the book of Job, where the Lord allows Satan to test Job. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12, there is the first encounter with the idea of the devil as one who has fallen from heaven. In the King James Version of the Bible, the verse reads, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" It is a theme found in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 15 and 16. "You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created, until iniquity was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and the guardian cherub drove you out." The vision of the prophet in Zechariah chapter 3 presents Satan as the accuser of the high priest Joshua. "Then he showed me the high priest Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you.'" Turning to the New Testament, the devil becomes a reality, encountered from the outset of Jesus' ministry in the accounts of the temptations of Jesus in St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. Luke. There is a keen awareness of the presence of the devil in the world in the New Testament. Jesus declares the devil to be one who has fallen from his place with God. In St. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Satan is used as a title for the devil on more than 30 occasions in the New Testament, the adversary to be overcome. "Get behind me, Satan," says Jesus to Peter when Peter tries to dissuade Jesus from going to Jerusalem to face what will happen. The devil is also referred to by other names and descriptions. Beelzebub, or Baalzebub, depending on which translation is read, captures a sense of the devil's fall from grace. Baalzebub was a title given to Baal, one of the deities worshipped by the people before the Israelites arrived, and a deity turned to in times when people turned from God. It meant Lord of Princes. Beelzebub, a name by which Jesus refers to Satan, means Lord of the Flies. It is a mark of how far Satan has fallen. Jesus describes the devil as the evil one in St. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19. And in some translations of Jesus' teaching, his disciples to pray, in St. Matthew chapter 6, "Deliver us from evil," is translated as "Rescue us from the evil one." Evil being just a vague force, but something that has a personal character. In today's Gospel reading, as Jesus approaches the final hours before Calvary, he tells his disciple that the devil is ruler of this world, but is about to be defeated. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out," says Jesus in St. John chapter 12, verse 31. Then in St. John chapter 14, verse 30, he says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me." Jesus regards the time as the devil's moment. In St. Luke chapter 22, verse 53, he says to those who arrest him, "When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. the power of darkness, the one who had been the morning star, the day star, has been reduced to darkness. The conflict between God and the devil is not one between competing philosophies. It is one between truth and falsehood, between good and evil. The devil is without integrity. He is the tempter, in St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. Luke. And again, in the first letter of the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5, where St. Paul writes, "I was afraid that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and that our labour had been in vain." In St. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus declares that the devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. If Jesus shows such a degree of concern at the power of the devil, shouldn't the church be concerned not to be deceived? St. Paul is concerned Christians will be taken in by the deceit. He asks in his second letter to the Corinthians, what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship is there between light and darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? St. Paul does not underestimate the influence the devil might have, writing also in that second letter to the Corinthians. He says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers." And in the letter to the Ephesians, he writes about the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. In the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 5 and verse 8, we find Peter urging people not to be complacent. "Discipline yourselves," he says. "Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith." In the final book in the Bible, the Revelation of St. John the Divine, chapter 20, verse 2, St. John has a vision of an end time where an angel came from heaven and seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. The devil is released for a while to bring further evil on the earth, until in verse 10 he is thrown into the lake of fire. In the pages of Scripture, the devil is a present reality. To read the story of Jesus and to ignore that he takes the devil seriously is to read it with a lack of integrity. The devil is present, and the devil is defeated. In the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, the readers are warned plainly. Our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The battle is an ongoing one, but it is a battle that is won. St. John, in his advancing years, writes his first letter and could look back on the experience of the early church. He warns in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 about the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. But reassure us, Christians, little children, you are from God and have conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It is the witness of Scripture that the power of darkness is to be taken seriously. Yet there is also a confidence that the darkness will be destroyed. As the moment of the crucifixion on Friday draws near, so does the final conflict. In the moment of his death, Jesus drives out the ruler of this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted himself to God, who judges justly. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we are straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. We sing the hymn, "When you prayed beneath the trees, it was for me, O Lord." Let us pray. Let us pray to the Father through his Son, who suffered on the cross for the world's redemption. Fill with your Spirit Christ's broken body, the Church. give to Christian people everywhere a deep longing to take up the cross and to understand its mysterious glory. By the Saviour's cross and passion,
Lord, save us and help us.
Bless those who lead the Church's worship in very different circumstances at this solemn time. In the preaching of the Word, draw your people close to you. By the Saviour's cross and passion,
Lord, save and help us.
Strengthen all children and young people learning at home, together with their teachers and their families. By the Saviour's cross and passion,
Lord, save and help us.
Look in your mercy on the world you loved so much that you sent your Son to suffer and to die. Strengthen those who work to share the reconciliation won at such cost upon the cross. By the Saviour's cross and passion,
Lord, save and help us.
Bring healing by the wounds of Christ to all who are weighed down by the coronavirus and other diseases. Help the lonely and the vulnerable, the suffering and the dying, to find strength in the companionship of Jesus and in his passion to know their salvation. By the Saviour's cross and passion,
Lord, save and help us.
Welcome us into paradise when we leave this world in your friendship, as we remember Aileen Stockdale, recently departed this life in your faith and fear. According to your promises, bring us with all your saints to share in all the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. By the Saviour's cross and passion,
Lord, save us and help us.
Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ, you asked forgiveness for those who crucified you, for they did not know what they were doing. We acknowledge that we are often caught in the web of the world's sinfulness, that we fail to recognize the deceitfulness of our hearts and the depths of our own self-seeking, and that we are continually crucifying you afresh. Lord, forgive us all our wrongdoing against you, our families, our neighbors, and ourselves. And help us to forgive those who cause us hurt. Grant this for your mercy's sake. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those on the front line of the fight against coronavirus. For doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and all medical staff, especially those we know. For all those working in essential services, for those who are sick, those who have been bereaved, and those living alone who may be afraid. And for all of us, that we may know the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord God, help us to hear and to heed your voice as you lead and guide us daily. Enable us to know your presence and your power in our lives, that we would see you at work more and more as each day passes. We cry out to you, asking you to intervene and halt the spread of this virus.
We ask for your wisdom and enabling for all involved in managing the transportation and distribution of vaccines.
We pray for a new wind of your Holy Spirit to blow across this island with healing and hope, repentance and faith towards you. In your love and mercy, we pray that you would bless us with a new awareness of your presence with us, your love towards us, your kindness and care for us, and for all those for whom Jesus lived and died. May we and may many respond to you with all our hearts in love and faith. We pray this in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen. Almighty and merciful God, who in the days of old didst give to this land the benediction of thy holy church, withdraw not, we pray thee, thy favour from us, but so correct what is amiss and supply what is lacking, that we may more and more bring forth fruit to thy glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And as our Saviour Christ has commanded and taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Story of the Cross, Part 2, The Answer. Christ draw you to himself, and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
We thank you for being with us online and joining in our service this evening. Our next service in this week of weeks will be on tomorrow, Wednesday night, online from 7 p.m. Thank you.